Amen. What a day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, we have been on a train, so to speak. A train of messages intended to blow the lids off of our unbelief, make us open vessels to receive all the things of God. We began with looking at leaving the lid off and the importance of it. From time to time, we do. Maybe out of desperation, maybe out of for whatever reason, we just decide to walk in faith, and we have no lid, nothing to keep it out. We're just confident, we're assured, and we find that, for goodness sakes, God does pretty good when we're that way. But then we have to understand that God does real good all the time. But sometimes the glory of God is raining down and it's bouncing off our lid. He is pouring out, because after that we talked about the fact that Jesus blew the lid off. When Jesus on the cross said it was finished, he blew the lid off that turned on and off the flow of the glory of God. You see, previous to Jesus blowing the lid off, it fell on different people at different times. We got glimpses of the glory. The glory poured out when Jesus sent out the 70, and they experienced what Jesus said that they should experience, and they were pretty excited about that, but once they had been done with that, apparently they put the lid back on because they couldn't understand much after that. They didn't grasp. When Jesus told them about what was going to happen, they didn't grasp it. They talked about it, but they weren't real confident in it. In fact, we know that they weren't real confident in it, because when Jesus died, they sort of were in a state of utter mutter of, now what? You know, fishing business is gone. Just following him, you know. Now what? But they would remember, there would be, somebody would say, but remember what he said. And in the AD series that's going on, you know, they have Mary, they have his mother always standing there saying, he will rise. He said he would, he will rise. I mean, she had had Jesus, and she knew that she had Jesus without having relations with a man, and so that was pretty miraculous, even though we often see her like going, wow, this is amazing. But the Bible says she held these things in her heart. And though it doesn't tell us anything in the Bible, it doesn't say that she was there telling him he will be back, but just think about it. A mother whose son was crucified, what do you think she's going to be saying? Well, this is a fine mess. No. She's going to be declaring what he said. She saw enough through his life that even though she was discouraged, that she would. So I think it's very realistic to see her standing there telling the people, he'll be back. He said he would, he'll be back. So that when they did find the tomb empty, she didn't buy the story. She didn't buy the story the soldiers said. She believed that he indeed had risen. So she stood on that. She kept the lid off because she knew that Jesus, she understood that this was the beginning of what Jesus had talked about all the time. And so we've had this flow going for all of this time, and at different times. It hasn't, I don't think that it's been that God increases the flow. I think that what happens is people get open to it. Because he's always flowing, isn't he? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what if we just believe it? What if we just believe it more than we believe anything else? He confirmed to me something that this morning I was over here to turn on the heat, and I guess it worked too well because I noticed that the doors were open earlier and we were warm, but that's okay. We like to be warm. I've seen people, well, I don't know. Sometimes people don't want to be warm. Sometimes they don't want to be cold. It just makes no difference. But Jesus is sufficient. It can be 30 degrees in here, and by the time we're done worshiping, I'm warm. Because the Spirit of God and the presence of God is good. God is good. He is good. Amen. He is always good. And so when we leave the lid off, and we understand that our lids are off because he blew the lid off, so that we are now open to all of it pouring into us. And we look at every opportunity, and we look at being important. See, this is the thing, you know, it's amazing. When we were at the pastor's conference this last week, door would open to kind of share that and just say, you know, it's important that you know that you are important to God. You'd be amazed at the looks that you get from people. You can see the mixed thought thinking about it. You can see them thinking, well, of course, I know that I'm important to God, and at the same time thinking, oh, I wish I was important to God. Or, well, of course, we're important to God. Jesus died for us, you know. To try to explain to him, it's not about that. It's about the fact you are just plain important to God. You are on his favorites list. You are his speed dial. You are on his person to do things for list. You are important just because you're important. And I noticed that as I said that a lot of people that I said it to digested it as slowly as I am. But I'm going to put in the effort to digest that until it is so much a part of me that I am so confident I just flat am important to God. Not from arrogance, just I'm important to God. I need to know that I'm important to God or I don't pray. If we know that we're important to God and we pray with expectancy and assurance and confidence and, you know, just boom, over the top. But if we don't believe that we're important to God, we pray hopefully. We pray with a continual awareness that we've prayed before and it didn't work. Be honest. We're always prepared for it not to work. What if we were revved up and prepared for it to work? I mean, what if we just came out of prayer and said, "It's finished!" Jesus hung on a cross and said, "It's finished." Maybe not. Maybe he didn't have the energy. Couldn't throw his arms up. They were nailed. Okay. But I mean, it was he with his last breath, he said, "It is finished." We always sort of think of him saying it is finished, like, "Oh, it's finished." But maybe he just said, "It's finished." Maybe he lit up the sky. Maybe he just brightened the earth with a smile as he said, "It is finished." He probably had a little "finally" involved. I don't know. I really don't know. But he died knowing it was over and it was about to change the world. The confidence he had in the Father, that he entrusted all of this to 11 guys. And really wanted to entrust it to all 12. But Judas just didn't make the trip. And in the same way, he's entrusted all of us with it. He's entrusted us with his word. He's entrusted us to believe what he said. To let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let his word dwell in us richly. That's the whole ticket. And there's all kinds of distractions, but keep him the main attraction. Keep believing. I was praying this morning. I was thinking, you know, Wednesday night we prayed for Mary, and today we're going to pray for her again, and today we're going to believe for two new knees. I think it would be just cool if she went in and they looked and said, "All righty then." You know, Because testimonies mean a lot. Here's the deal. Everything that you've got that you doubt about, I guarantee you somewhere in this world, there's a testimony that God did. And we spend way more time believing the doubts than we do the things that God did. Rather than standing on those promises, rather than declaring, hey, what he's done for others, he'll do for me. And if I can't find a testimony that he actually did, I can certainly declare, I know he did it somewhere. It's all wrapped up. It's all wrapped up. It was all in a package deal. Jesus said, it is finished. And for us to come to that knowledge of the truth and stand on those promises of God is so very important. The attitude that so many people will have, you know, seriously, God's true. Seriously, God's faithful. Seriously, if he said it, he was serious. There's no place that doesn't say, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Just kidding. It's not written, just kidding. You know? Just kidding. He never said that. Seriously. There's no place in the Bible, I've read the Bible enough times, and if he would have said that somewhere, I would have remembered it. And yet, so often, if we think about it, we sort of feel like his promises are, I'm just kidding. Or we think that his promises are for somebody else. Because we know lots of times that we have prayed and it didn't go the way we wanted to, so we dwell on those things. But the Bible says if there be anything worthy of praise, if there be anything just, if there be anything perfect, if there be any, you know, if it's right and if it's holy, think on these things. Don't think on those things. This morning we erased, I don't know if you did, but I erased well. I erased. Did you erase? Did you erase when we're suggesting erase that board with all of those other things on it? Just erase it. Clean that blackboard like, you know, with water. Even these dry erase marker boards, they get ugly, don't they, Jennifer? You know, I mean, sometimes you just got to clean them because they're just so ugly. They're just like the old chalkboards. They had to be cleaned, you know? And I just erased, you know, and I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes like when I'm at school and I'm subbing, I write their assignment up on the board, and then the next class comes, and so then I erase that, and I write up the next assignment, and somebody from the previous class comes in and said, what was that? I don't see it. I don't know. Now I got to go dig and find the paper and tell them again, because I don't remember it just because I write it. But do you ever... How well do you remember the times that you're convinced God's failed you? For some reason, we have perfect recall on those things. We just sort of remember, oh, yeah, that's why I don't want to pray this time, because last time it didn't work out so well. And we think that it was God making a decision not to honor our prayer, rather than that it was maybe we just quit believing. And God doesn't tell us, you know, erase those things too. Erase those things where you quit believing. Don't come down on yourself for them. Do it better. When I played football, my desire when I was running back was to score every time I got the ball. I didn't score every time I got the ball. But I ran over as many people as I could trying. And when I got back to the huddle, I didn't go, no, don't give me the ball. I didn't make it that time. I'm not going to try again. Oh, no, 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 no. Give me the ball. I'm going somewhere. You know? And I would block for other people to get them somewhere, but even when I was blocking, I was thinking it'd be better if I had the ball. You know? And when I played defense, I planned to tackle every person that carried the ball. And if I didn't get to them first, I wanted to get there as legally as I could and pile on. I didn't just stand there when I didn't get to them first and go, I guess I'm not going to get any tackles tonight. I planned on getting it. Now, for goodness sakes, if I could make plans like that, why can't I plan on the Word of God with even more confidence? Well, mostly because the devil didn't care if I scored touchdowns or got tackles. That was fine with him. But he doesn't like us getting built up in our most holy faith. He doesn't like us hearing a testimony and saying, "Ah, there's my answer." You know, he doesn't want us to be built up in the even if we read a testimony, he wants us just to read it and say, "Oh, that's nice for them." He doesn't want it to get into our heart and touch our spirit, and he doesn't want us to arise and say, "That's mine. I claim that for me." Oh, I did punch the button right. Sometimes I punch the button and I don't need to punch the button again. I had that thought in my head, so I might as well take care of it. Otherwise, I'll be trying to think all the time. You know, that messes us up sometimes when it comes to our walk of faith. We get to thinking. And if we get to thinking, sometimes it's stinking. And we will follow a stinking trail way better than we'll follow the sweet essence of God. I don't know why it is, but is it true? You know, we'll get our nose in the air and we're headed for it, you know. Instead of going, "Pew, that stinks, I'm going for the fragrance of the Lord." Seriously. When Jesus said, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, what did I do with the glasses? There. Stick them on your head, then you'll know where they are. Okay. Mark 9, verse 23, but we're not going to read just verse 23, okay? We're going to read a few more verses. Okay? So, Jesus asked, "What are you arguing about?" That's verse 16. A man answered, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, and he's controlled by an evil spirit that keeps him from talking. The spirit attacks him and throws him on the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes very stiff. And I asked your followers to force the evil spirit out, but they could not." Jesus said, "You people today don't believe. How long do I have to stay with you? How long must I be patient with you? Bring the boy to me." Let's go over this one more time. Let's do this one more time. Observe how simple it is so that then you can just do it too. Let's do this one more time. So the followers brought the boy to Jesus, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it attacked the boy, and the boy fell down and he rolled on the ground and he was foaming at the mouth. And at that point, a lot of people ran away thinking he's going to die. We're all going to be in trouble. Doesn't say that, but it's a little spooky, ain't it, bro? We were there when that lady's tongue came out of her like a snake and she hit the ground. I think, "Oh, God, don't let her die." Enough people think we're crazy, you know? Anyway, so the followers brought the boy to Jesus, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it attacked the boy, and he fell down. He was foaming at the mouth, and Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" You know, I mean, Jesus didn't panic and grab him. He said, "How long has this been going on?" Man, you know, it wasn't an urgency. There was just a simple question. How long has this been going on? And, well, the father answered, "Since he was very young, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water to kill him. If you can do anything, please have pity on us and help us. If you can do anything." And Jesus said to the father, "Why do you say, 'If you can'? All things are possible for the one who believes." That's not the one Jesus. That's "all things are possible for the one that believes." And boy, oh boy, oh boy, that'll get you digging for a lid. Screw that lid on your head, because he can't mean it's for all who will believe. We screw the lid on our head to keep in all of the things that we know that it never happened for us, so it can't be possible, and we just can't take the conviction that maybe it could be possible. No, 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 keep that out. You know, it's that old, "Na, na, 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 na." You know, "I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not going to hear that, I don't want to hear that, you can't make me hear that. You know, I like it better when it's just a nice, calm, peaceful, let's go to church once in a while faith." The other day I was out at the nursing home and there was somebody sitting there, and somebody sitting next to them said, "Well, you can't go yet. Your husband needs you." She said, "Well, I'm not ready to go." I said, "Man, I am." She said, "Well, you can go then, but I'm not ready." And I thought, "What do you mean you're not ready?" I said, "I got things to do, but if I don't do another thing, it won't make much difference when I go. Somebody else can do what I got to do here. But when I go there, I'm not going to worry about what's here. Of course I want to stay here." "But not more than I want to go there." You know, I don't have plans to run off and die. But I'm saying, you know. But you see, that was, that to me, for someone to say that they're not ready, they're saying they're not ready. And even when I said, "Well, yeah, we got to be ready," she said, "I'm not ready." You know, I probably shouldn't have left. I probably should have said, "What do you need to do to get ready?" But there'll be another time when I'll say, "You know, the other day, you said you weren't ready. Can I help you get ready?" Because we should always be ready. I mean, really, if you think about it, what thing do you have to do that's more important than that? Not a thing. Not a thing. "Oh, I've got to raise my kids." Well, my kids will be okay. You know? Yeah, I'd like to raise them and that'll be great, but my goodness, I don't go to bed at night going, "Oh God, don't let me die. I've got to raise my kids," you know. "Vicky couldn't get by without me." "Oh yeah, she could." She'd be amazing. So anyway, immediately the father did a very smart thing. He said, "I do believe, help me believe." You see, the father had a choice. The father could just screw the lid on. "I guess this depends on my believing, and I'll just stand around with a bucket of water for when he goes in the fire." "It's all right, I know how to handle this. I've done it before. It'll be all right." But instead he said, "I do believe, help my unbelief. Get me over the top on this baby. Let's go. I'd like to play ball with my son, not pull him out of the fire." "I'm tired of wiping the drool off his mouth when he falls down, and I'd just like to have it be normal. So help my unbelief." See, that "help my unbelief" is like throwing the lid. Throw it and don't go look for it. Don't let anything keep out the open heaven. Just make a determination of no more lids. When I was talking to Jeannie Kaufman about this, she kind of looked at me like, I don't think I get those devotions anymore. I said, "Well, you probably got a filter that's keeping them out." So I just got on my phone, sent her all the devotions, and an hour or so later, "Oh, wonderful!" And she signed it, "Lidless." Jeannie's the wife of Pastor Dave Kaufman, where we went to the conference, and the conference was really fit in well with Lidless and that, because he often would say something. He would say a lie that people think are the truth, and he would say, "Just laugh at that. Just laugh at that. Just laugh at that. Laugh at your own unbelief. Laugh at your own doubts. Laugh at other people's accusations. Laugh at old things that haven't. Just laugh at them. Go ahead, laugh at them. Come on, Vicky, laugh at them. Pretend it's Elvis. Come on, Vicky. You can do this. Come on. Go ahead. Come on. Take the lid off. Go ahead. Laugh, Vicky." "Yeah." "You'd be a tough crowd to play to for a comedian, I'll tell you. You did not. You didn't laugh at anything. You were thinking about it. You got the lid in one hand, and you're thinking, am I going to do this? Am I just going to screw the lid on, you know? Throw it away, Vicky. Throw it away. Just laugh at that." "I've heard you laugh, Vicky, and that wasn't a laugh. Okay, it'll come to you. John, be prepared. Sometime this afternoon or tonight, maybe in the middle of the night, all of a sudden she's just going to go off like you're the best story in the world, laughing and laughing and laughing. And when she does, just say, finally. Okay, I know you've got to go home. I'll be quiet. Yeah, just laugh at that. I like that. You know, it's good to just laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a bitter spirit wearies the bones. This guy said the right thing. He said, you know, I came here because I wanted my son helped. And I almost gave up because these other guys couldn't do it. Because you see, the rumors were out there that these guys had been out doing it. So his must be too big of a problem. This must be too much because they prayed and nothing happened. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. I won't give up. I won't give in. I'll just start to praise again. I'm going to just stay on it. He didn't give up. So when Jesus came, he just said, I brought him. Nothing happened. And Jesus said, you see, we all want to think that somehow Jesus was telling them you'll never get it. But I think Jesus was telling them, let's do it again so you do get it. Jesus doesn't dwell on us when we don't get it. He keeps just says, keep coming, keep pressing. The Apostle Paul said, you know, one thing I do, I forget about what's behind. I just erase it. And I reach for what's ahead, and then I press for the mark, for the prize. There's prizes out there, people. There's prizes out there. I'm still waiting to win my gun. I bought that ticket to win a gun. You know, if I don't, you know, it'll be okay. But I don't say, every time they have somebody else win, I go, praise God, I hope that's the one they want. I wonder which one I'm going to get. But winning a gun or losing a gun doesn't really make that much difference in anything. But when it comes to the things that I ask God for, when it comes to the things that God has promised me, those are important. And I'm not going to get them if I keep him out. I'm not going to get them if I give up. I'm not going to get them if I quit praying. I'm not going to get them if I shift doubt into fifth gear. We need to be in overdrive and belief. We need to believe, you know. Levon has that book out there. There's a lot of other stories in that book as well. They're testimonies. The Bible talks about testimonies. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns as we give thanks to God. Declaring what God has said. Sharing those things. Believing that. And with that, having enough faith to believe, you know what? If I haven't found the testimony yet, I know God's done it somewhere. Sometime. I absolutely know that I've heard a testimony or read a testimony about someone who was going into surgery and got there and it wasn't necessary. I know that I have. And I keep looking for it to happen. I keep expecting it to happen. If it doesn't happen, that doesn't matter. We'll keep expecting it to happen. We'll keep praying because what if that time that we don't pray was the time that it was supposed to happen and we didn't pray because of something that happened before or didn't happen before? Wouldn't that be silly? That's why Jesus said men ought always to pray. Women ought always to pray. God likes girls. That's why he made men and women. That's why a marriage is a man and a woman. I just say that because that's what we need to say. I don't have to tell you because you all know that. But if in any way someone has tried to convince you that it's okay otherwise, don't believe it because if you believe it, you have put a lid on that you're going to have a hard time getting off. Because that belief has a whole bunch of cousins that'll move in and take over your house. Because if you believe one lie, you're going to have to feed the rest of them as well. And don't say that it wouldn't be that big a deal. Yes, it would be that big of a deal. Jesus said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A lot of people are just getting bound up and tied up and thrown to the side because they've decided, well, I don't need to be so narrow-minded. Oh, man, when you have a feeling like that, get narrower, because the enemy is trying to squeeze in a crack. He's trying to make a way. And we need one. We need the ways that God will make. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. That has to be what we hold on to. God will make a way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things is all things, not just certain things. It's all things. If you can believe, all things are possible. All things, not some things, all things. And we pull that lid off and we let the Spirit of God flow in, and we refuse to keep anything else out. We don't let anything else in but the truth. You abide in me and my word abides in you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make me free. The only thing we keep out are the lies, but all the truth, it's just got an even flow. You know, we should have, our truth should work like our glottis and epiglottis, you know. We should have a thing that blocks so that when we drink it doesn't go into our lungs. So that we can get nourishment and get thirst, and you know, so that we recognize a lie, just like we do if water goes down our esophagus, and we just begin to cough and hack that out and be rid of that, because we have the Holy Spirit to separate those things, so that we declare we have only a truth receiver. Everything else can flow by and go to waste, but the truth is the breath of God. And we will breathe on me, breath of God. Seriously. So what if we took him at his word? Always. Now, everyone here would say, well, I always take God at his word. Most of the time. Haven't necessarily taken everything, but most of the time. What if we just erased everything else and just went? What if we refuse to give up? What if we refuse to let setbacks that we suffer keep us from going ahead and running another play? You know, when I played football, if we had a loss on a play, we didn't just walk off the field because we had a loss. Did we, Jeff? They didn't change that after I left school either, did they? All the way through, you know. If you had a loss, you tried to make it up. If we missed the mark, so what? Keep believing God. Don't give up. Press in closer. Be more determined. You got to make it. You know, I walk little Mia, and she's got her little collar on, and she takes off, and I'm just hoping she'll figure out how many steps it is to the end of the leash so that she doesn't always hit the leash. You know, but she hits it, but she's light, doesn't break her neck. She does just fine. But she takes off and she'll hit the end of that leash. And then I'll pull on the leash and she'll turn around and look at me, and she'll run the other way as fast as she can. And she'll hit the end of the leash. And then after a while, she sort of runs cautiously toward the end of the leash. So I think she's getting the steps counted. You know, I think she's getting it figured out. But it, you know, it's not a terrible thing to hit the end of the leash and turn around and come back. It's not a terrible thing if we become distracted, as long as we remember that Jesus is the main attraction. It's not a terrible thing. It's not a thing to get beat up about and down about and beating ourselves up. The enemy will beat us up. That's not the end of the world. The end of the world is if we don't make him our main attraction. Seriously. So what do? We trust and we keep trusting. We pray and we keep praying. We keep believing and we keep thanking. We keep knowing that God is good, and we know that he's our comforter, and we just wait upon the Lord who renews our strength, and we run and we don't grow weary, and we walk and we don't faint. We are good with God. We become so good with God, so comfortable with God, that we are not comfortable anyplace else. Those things that As Vicky shared, you know, those things where we have really come to the conclusion, really what happens is we come to the conclusion that God has failed us. And when we have those kind of things, we have a real wall built up that keeps us from believing God, because we've got those things that we have decided. But we don't say God failed us. We have just decided that God didn't want us to have them, that God didn't want to do it for us. And then we come into those beliefs of, you know, that God wanted the Trade Center to blow up and those people to die, and the other people that lived, he wanted them to live. And, you know, and so we can look at that and we say, well, that's not the case. We don't believe that. But we have other things that are just about the same thing that we just kind of sort of believe. They may not be a Trade Center falling down, but they might be, you know, well, I asked God for this, but God didn't do it, so I guess God didn't want me to have it. And maybe it was there and we just never showed up to get it. More and more I got guys sitting in jail saying they're going to come and get that coffee. They're going to come and get it. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for it. I'm waiting for it. I'm wanting it. You know, I want them to come, to show up, to receive that cup of coffee, because that cup of coffee is the same as all the other things I've been telling them that God has promised them. And it will just confirm that. See, these are the things God wants to confirm his word to you. To you. And it's an individual thing. It's you having confidence, you having assurance. I am important to God, and God wants to confirm his word to me. And when he confirms his word to me, I will have a testimony, and my testimony will encourage someone else. Because you see, not only do you have a list of things that you think that probably, maybe, kind of, sort of, God didn't do what you wanted him to do, and that God must have made that decision, but you also have a list of things that God's actually done for you. You also have, you have a list of things that you didn't even pray for, but that they went well, that you kind of thought maybe God had something to do with. You got some of those things. And you've got more of them than you've thought about. And these are the things that we should think on. If there be any good things, think on those things. When you're wanting to think on those other things, stop and think on those things. But wait, you see, instead of thinking of God answering the prayer and going, but wait, it didn't work last time. What about thinking about him answering the prayer, and when that distraction comes, we'll say, but wait, I know God. God is faithful. I'm going to get it right. I never loved practice in football. I didn't mind it. And when we got to scrimmage, that was good. But even when you scrimmaged, you'd run a play, do it again. You'd run a play, do it again. When I got to college, it just became a business. Do it again. 10 guys out of the 11 could do everything right. One person do it wrong, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I want to do a different play, coach. And spiritually speaking, we had do-overs and do-overs and do-overs and do-overs until they are a success. And with each do-over, it's a little bit better, because we get a little bit closer to God and we're trusting him a little bit more, and he becomes more and more comfort, and it becomes more and more assurance, and pretty soon we're just with him. I want to sit at your feet. I want to drink from the cup in your hand. I want to lean back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. Ah, this love is so real. It's almost more than I can bear. I melt in your peace, Lord. You overwhelm me. That's the place to go, seriously. That's the place to depend upon. That's the thing. And so when Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible, he was serious. And every other verse in the Bible that he promises us, he was serious. And if we will just remove our lid that keeps the truth out, and keeps falsities in, and let the truth flow in until it pushes out everything else, then we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. Seriously. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you have planned. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that in your infinite mercy and in your special kind of wisdom, you have declared that we are important to you and that you made a way for us to overflow with your presence every day and to erase everything from the past that would steal our future so that we can just walk in the truth, standing on the promises of God. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.